All right, good morning, everyone. Wonderful to be here. I think it's just great to be together, to be with the Lord, and to grow, and to want to learn, and to be want to be changed in the presence of the Lord. And I just love that song. It says, I surrender all to you. I surrender all to you. But really the question is, are we surrendering all we want to surrender? Or are we actually surrendering all, even those things which we don't really want to hand over? And I think part of what we get to and part of coming before God and learning His Word and this thing of knowledge that we need to get, that we need to understand, is so that we can learn to surrender all. There may be some areas in our lives that we don't realize or don't understand that we're holding on to, or there may be parts in our lives that we are not willing yet to surrender. But God wants all of us. Why? Because He demands it of us. Well, He does command it of us, but because it's good for us. Because He knows what we are created for, how we work. And through that, there's certain blessings and promises that are released. So one of the questions I would ask you is, as we sang that song, I surrender all, have you surrendered all, or only all that you want to surrender? So, by the end of today, let's hope that we can break through into our hearts to surrender more. Because, to be honest, our whole walk is a walk of surrendering and growing and growing. And it's very few people, if any, besides maybe Jesus, who surrendered all completely over to Jesus, but it doesn't mean that we can't obtain it, because we do have the Holy Spirit. So let's work to surrender more and more and more until that all is all of us. So today we're going to learn four things maybe, and I want us just to, we're going to read from 2 Chronicles. I'm going to be teaching out of 2 Chronicles today in the Old Testament, and there's going to be four lessons that we're going to learn as we go through this. One is, we're going to learn the heart of God. How do we know what to surrender if we don't know God? If we don't know what He wants and we don't know His heart? We've got to know God in order to surrender to Him. And if I'm saying to you, you need to please that person, well, you need to learn about that person in order to please him. Otherwise, you're not sure what is in his heart, what his makeup is, what his personality is. And we need to know God in order to line ourselves up to His ways. So one, we're going to learn the heart of God. Two, we're going to learn how we can please God and be obedient to His Word. There's certain things that we need to do in our lives to be obedient to God in order to please Him. So our walk is a walk of pleasing God. We are submitted and surrendered to Him. Three, we're going to learn the schemes of the enemy, because the enemy is trying to stop that. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and rob what we have in our lives. And the enemy wants to come today and take away what you have so that you can suffer with him, so that you can be voided of your blessings and the promises, so that you can go through this world hungry and dark and without everything that God has promised you. So there's the schemes of the enemy that will come against you. And four, the consequences of your responses to God. So these are some of the things we're going to learn today, is there's consequences to your response to God. Did you know that? Okay. So we can learn from the Old Testament what God expects from His people. In the New Testament, we are saved by grace through faith. We are saved. Thank you, Jesus, that our names are written in the book of heaven. Okay. We have salvation and we are saved. But there's still a work for us to do. There is consequences still to our behavior. It doesn't mean because I'm saved and I'm covered by the blood of Jesus that I can go on living a life as I want to, and Jesus just comes and forgives and forgives and says, don't worry, you're covered by the blood. Oh, don't worry, you're saved. We've got salvation, but we've got to work it out with fear and trembling. And there's consequences to our response to this salvation. We either have blessings and promises and the protection and the favor of God when we are obedient to Him, or we go through discipline and training and trials and tribulations for our own good when we are withholding from God or when we are disobedient. So today we're going to learn a little bit about these consequences of our lives towards God. Okay, so we are saved. We have salvation. Praise God. But we got to now live a life towards God so that we can receive everything that he has for us. All right. We can see that according to our behavior and our submission determines a lot in life. Romans 12 says, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And some versions say, which is your worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is part of what we go through in this process of learning how to live this life with God. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles. Okay, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about Chronicles. 2 Chronicles parallels 1 Kings and 2 Kings. So you've got 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, it goes into 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and then it goes into Chronicles. Chronicles parallels 1 and 2 Kings. But it's got a different perspective. 1 and 2 Kings look at the political history of Israel and Judah. Chronicles looks at the religious perspectives of Judah. It doesn't discuss Israel at all. Why? Because Israel had forsaken God. As we know, after Solomon, the nation of Israel was split into two, into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdoms had 10 tribes. The southern kingdom had 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Okay. And they continued, the kings of the southern kingdom was a Davidic dynasty. Okay, is that better? The Davidic dynasty with all the kings that came from the line of David. Okay, the southern kingdom of Judah. And Chronicles goes through that through a religious and spiritual perspective. They're not sure who wrote Chronicles, but we think it was Ezra, the scribe. Why? Because it comes as a priestly viewpoint. It's all about the temple, the worship of the temple, the ministry of the priests, and obedience to God. So this is what we're going to learn when we go through some of Chronicles. All right. So Chronicles is a powerful book which teaches us all these things. It really highlights the temple of God and the worship of the temple. Okay, why? Because the temple was an important thing. It's where God dwelt. Where does God dwell now? Within us. We are the temple of God. So as we look at the Old Testament and see their worship of the temple, we look now at us. And as their worship at the temple is, this is how we need to align our lives up. And the word says, the temple also prefigures Christ. Okay, prefigures Christ, but we have Christ now. But we learn from them what the worship of the temple is, how we need to act. As Jesus said, in this place there is one greater than the temple, in Matthew 12, verse 6. He also likens his body to the temple. Destroy this temple in 3 days and I will raise it up. So he said, as you see the temple, you're actually looking at me. So when we read about the temple worship, we can see our behavior and reaction towards Christ. And in Revelations 21, 22, listen to this, this is beautiful. He replaces the temple. But I saw no temple in it, John says, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So we know in the millennium reign, there still will be worship. There will still be a temple. We will be looking back at Jesus. But in the new heavens and earth, there won't be a temple because Jesus will be the temple. It says there will be no sun and no moon because the glory of Jesus shines in the new heaven and the new earth. So on that, let's get into Chronicles. So we're going to start in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to start off in verse 28 and we're going to read 19 to 27. And we're going to just look at Chronicles. So chapter 28, verse 19. I'm just going to read you. We're going to study the life. The title of this message is called The Faith and Influence of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king in the sight of God. As we read kings, you'll see always when they explain the king, they'll say this king was a bad king in the sight of God. He did bad things. He forsake God and he led the people to pagan worship. Hezekiah was a king in Judah. He was a good king. Just a little bit of history as well is that the northern kingdom, as we're reading Hezekiah, the northern kingdom had been captured by the Assyrians. They'd been led astray. God gave them over to captivity because they abandoned him. Consequences of our neglecting God is captive by the enemy. If you neglect areas in your life, the enemy will have control of that. So that's a lesson that we're going to go through as well. So the northern kingdom had been captured by Assyria, taken off. What happened now is Hezekiah, in 722, they were captured off, 722 BC. Hezekiah was now king, but before him it was his father. So I just want to read about his father. It was during his father's reign in southern region that the 10 tribes of Israel were taken captive because they turned their backs on God. So let's read about his father a little bit first. It says in verse 19, "For the Lord brought Judah low." Because, why? Because of Ahaz, king of Israel. He had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. Consequences of being unfaithful to the Lord is moral decline in our lives. A moral decline. You can see somebody that doesn't follow the Lord, there's moral decline in that area of his life. Also, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came to him and distressed him and did not assist him. Two, you lose favor with man. Okay, he tried to find favor with the Lord and he found no favor with man because God had abandoned him, because he abandoned God. For Ahaz took part of the treasures of the house of the Lord from the house of the king and from the leaders, and he gave it to the king of Assyria, but the king of Syria did not help him. Okay, your favor from man doesn't come. You can give what you want. You can give your treasures to man. You can give your soul to man. You can work as hard as you want for man. Your favor will not come from him. It comes from God. Remember that. Okay, King Ahaz learned this, and we see it from all the kings in Israel and in Judah. Now, in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful. When you start being unfaithful, if you don't fix it up, you continually become more and more unfaithful. That's this backsliding thing. If you don't fix it and you don't stop it, you'll continue to become more and more unfaithful to the Lord. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus. And we can say, yo, they had gods, they had all these gods. No, we've got gods today. We've got gods in this world, through all kinds of things in this world that are pulling us away, that we sacrifice to, that we actually give ourselves to. All of you, Lord, and only you, or do we have other gods? Which had defeated him. Listen to this. So he gave to gods in Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because the gods of the king of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all Israel. You see, we look at systems, we look at money, we look at people, and we think, wow, that guy's powerful. They've got what it takes. I'm going to follow that God. All right? Be careful of that, because that's another thing we see. Wow, that person's gone. He's got Bitcoin now. He's going to be famous. He's going to have lots of money. I'm putting my faith in Bitcoin. I'm just using it as an example. Or there's a system that somebody else has got that he's got. Wow, look how successful, look how strong that person is. I'm going to follow his God. No, no, there's only one God, because it will be the ruin of you. Maybe you've put some gods in place of the living God, the true God. And as I'm talking to you, look into your hearts. Be truthful to yourself. Where do you stand in all of this? So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut it in pieces, the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. Quentin was telling us about our heart. Be careful to shut your heart off in areas to the Lord. We say, no, I'm not going to have that. I'm putting my faith in this, in my job, in money, power, in this thing. I've found something out. It's worked for him. It's going to work for me. Be careful to shut your heart off to God. And he made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And every single city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoke the anger of the Lord, God of his fathers. Idols in his lives. Okay, then we read about King Hezekiah. Let's look at Hezekiah. So here we see King Ahaz, a bad king, did wrong in the sight of God. Look at your heart. Is there anything of King Ahaz in your heart which you've maybe shut off, closed down, and followed after? So we're going to move down Chronicles. Turn over now to Chronicles 29, verse 3. Here we see King Hezekiah. Do you know how old he was when he became king and started to rule and reign? Well, he's 25. 25 years old. Where's the young man here? 25, ruling and reigning as kings. But he was a good king, you see. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He ruled from 716 to 687 BC for 29 years. It says in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 3 to 6, in the first month of the first year, he didn't wait. He didn't wait till the second year, the third year, the fourth year. The first year and the first month, he started to put things right. As soon as you hear something's wrong in your life, don't wait. Straight away, put it right. Immediately. In the first year and the first month, put it right. Of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. Are there areas in your life that need repairing towards God? He brought in the priests and the Levites. Wonderful. Praise and worship. We need each other. Okay. So he brought in the priests and Levites and assembled them in the square on the east side and said, listen to me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord. Clean it up. Let's get it right. What have we been going through? A time of consecration, a time of cleaning up, a time of getting right. What is wrong in my life? What do I need to put right? And the God of your ancestors, remove all defilement from this sanctuary. He didn't try and do it on his own. He got out of the priests and the Levites. Who have you got that is helping you? What godly man have you got in your life that is helping you? You see, we've learned to do this all on our own. I don't need anyone. I only need God. We heard it the other day. Don't worry about me. I got God. He's my buddy. He's my pal. Me and God, we work things through. No, you need priestly men. You need godly men in your lives to help you, to come alongside you, and to be with you, because you can't work this out alone. King Hezekiah realized that. He called the priestly gods, the anointed of God, who had been called by God to come and help him. Find those people in your life. Find those people that have got God in their lives and walk alongside them. Call them and say, come help me consecrate myself. Come help build me up. Come help me get me right. Our parents were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord and our God and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. So he realized what had happened, how God had left him, and what he did. Now, we're going to turn to the lessons that we can apply in our life and our relationship to God so that we will not be led astray. I'm going to now go through 2 Chronicles, verse 32, 1 to 32, and I'm going to expound on it a little bit. Take notes and listen to how this applies to you, because it worked for King Hezekiah and it will work for us. This is how you get right before God, and this is how you come against temptations and the enemy that wants to destroy you. This is how you become overcomers and victorious in your life, and how you please God and partake of his blessings. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 1 to 23. After these deeds of faithfulness, Hezekiah was faithful to God. He put things right. He opened the doors. But then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He was an evil man. The Syrians used to come, rape the women, kill the children, cut the men into pieces, and carry them off. He was an evil king. All right. Now, Hezekiah had put everything right. Be careful in your life when you put things right, you think you are immune to attack. We're not. The enemy is out there. This was one thing we can learn from here. Once Hezekiah put everything right, he didn't have peace. A king came against him. Also in our lives, we always got to be on the watch. Even in those areas in our life that are right, we still got to watch over them because we are not immune to attack. So the king of Assyria came and entered Judah. He encamped against the fortified cities. Listen to this, thinking to win them over to himself. Arrogance, pride. There's people that want to win you over to themselves. Ultimately, it's Satan. Ultimately, it's the enemy. He wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy from you, but he uses people. People and systems and things that will come and encamp around you to destroy you and to carry you away. And when Hezekiah saw, so he saw that Sennacherib had come and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem. Guys, let's ask for discernment. Who's coming to bless you, to help you, and who's coming to make war against you? We need to know these things and to discern these things. What did he do? He consulted with his leaders. Once again, you need godly men around you. You need people. You need fellowship. That's why we're here. We gather around each other to consult each other, to be with each other, to help each other. We cannot walk this alone. A lot of the other kings, and especially the kings in Israel, they tried to do this alone. I will do it. I'm the man of God. And they were crushed. They were conquered and they were carried away. We need people in our lives that can be with us and come alongside us. So he consulted with his leaders and commanders. What did he do? To stop up the water, with his commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. So straight away, King Hezekiah sees this thing. He didn't just go into a spiritual mode. We'll see that what he did, but also he did practical things in his lives. When we've got things that are coming against us, there's some practical things we've got to do in our lives. If there's a picture or a painting or something in your house, maybe you've got the signs of the zodiac or something in your house, you need to remove those things. You need to know what is not of God, what is coming against me, and actually physically do some things in your life. This is not good for me. I'm watching too much. Put it away. My phone, I'm too much on my phone. Set something that switches it off. I don't know, but we got to do some practical things in our lives. You see, he didn't just sit back and say, okay, God, you're going to help me. No, he did practical things in his life. What are the practical things in your life or in your home that you need to be doing to help you overcome the enemy? So he stopped up the springs. What happened is there's two springs. They're flowing to Jerusalem. They went and they hid them. They covered them so that the enemy couldn't partake of those springs. And they allowed the springs through a tunnel to come into the city so they could have it. They were clever. They had wisdom. What are you doing? Hide those things from the enemy. Don't leave things out there that the enemy can use to get stronger to come against you. Thus many people gathered together who stopped all the springs and the brook that ran through the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? What are you doing that's helping the enemy? What talents are you using for the world? What are you giving to people who are trying to actually not favoring you and are not godly people? Be careful. Stop those things up. Deny them. Take it away. Even I would say, go through your home and see what is hanging up there, what's doing, what the enemy can feed off, which can attack you and come against you eventually. If you don't know, ask people. Come to the priestly people. Come to the godly people that can recognize it and identify it and help you through it. What did he do after that? So he did some practical things. Then he strengthened himself. How often do we say, oh, the enemy's come against me. Oh, I'm so down. I don't know what's happening. Oh, I'm going to lie in bed. I'm going to pull the covers over my head and that's it. Don't come. Just leave me alone. No. When the enemy's coming against you, that's time to strengthen yourself. It's a time when you need to get prayed up. It's a time when you need to get into the Word. It's time when you need to come to church. You need to come to prayer meetings. You need to gather around the things that God are doing. You need to strengthen yourself. Don't lie down. Get up. And what did he do? He built up the wall that was broken. Guys, we got broken walls in our lives that we neglect. When we neglect areas in our lives, that wall is broken and it's a weak point for the enemy to come through into our lives. Where are the broken walls in your life that you need to fix up, that you need to strengthen, that you need to put right again? Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's bitterness. But there's broken walls which you need to say, I need to fix up. Maybe it's neglect. Maybe it's neglecting the gathering of the saints. Maybe it's not praying enough. Maybe it's not being in the Word enough. What are those broken walls in your life that you need to build up? Because the enemy is coming. And he's coming in a big way. So he raised up these broken walls. Why? They had neglected them. They neglected the walls. They forgot about it. You know why? They weren't in attack. When things get easy, be careful. We forget to build those walls. Ooh, I'm lekker. Everything's good. Things are cozy in my life. I'm cruising. I'm fine. You neglect those walls. And when the enemy comes, sorry, it's too late. Those walls are broken. He gets through them very easily. Be on the watch. Be on the guard all the time. So he built up the broken walls. He raised it up. To the towers and built another wall. How is that? Not only did he strengthen his own walls, he built another wall. You see, God gives us time. He watches us. He gave them wisdom and they built another wall. And he repaired the Milo in the city of David, which was like a fortified terrace, and made weapons and shields in abundance. Now, I've prayed. I've been to the prayer meeting. I've read my word. I'm okay. No. Get abundantly into prayer. Get abundantly into your word. Get abundantly into the presence and fellowship of the people. Abundantly partake of the image of God. Abundantly call out to Him. Abundantly look for repentance. Abundantly get going with God. because this is your weapons, this is your shields. Then he set military captains over the people. He brought order. He brought order in amongst his people. He gathered them together to him in the open square in the city gate and gave them encouragement. Men in your homes, get order in your homes. Get your wives together. Get your children together. Preach to them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. That's what he did. Get up a military army. You know what our military army is? It's when we pray. It's when we have the word. When we put things right in our home. He encouraged them. Let's encourage each other. I tell you one thing, even here in this family, there's been discouragement. There's been a little bit of grumbling and murmuring. We need to put that aside. We need to fix that broken wall. We need to be unified. We need to encourage each other. We need to support each other. We need to love each other because the enemy wants to come in here and take us captive, but we won't allow it, will we? Because we're going to build the walls. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to be strengthened in the Lord because God promised to protect us. It says, be strong and courageous. You see, it's good to build up the walls and build up these things in our lives, but we need to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous in everything. How are you doing? I'm doing good. Speak positively. I'm going to get going, and I'm going to go into areas that I've never gone to before. I'm going to do things that I've never done before, and I'm not going to be afraid because God promised me these things. I tell you what, we can pretend, and we can still build these things, and we can remove those things from ours, but you still need to be strong and courageous in the Lord. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria. He said, the enemy is coming, but don't be afraid. I tell you, if you're afraid, then you haven't done these things, and you need to get strong or courageous because that's where the enemy comes. He comes to lie to you and make you afraid, as we're going to learn now. He says, do not be dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. I tell you, how often do you say, this thing is too big for me. There's multitudes. This is a mountain. I can't get over this. I can't get through this. This is too big for me. They're all against me. No one loves me. I'm all alone. That's how they felt. At least 185,000 Assyrians surrounded this fortified city. And he said, don't be dismayed. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. God is with us. For there are more with us than are with him. You see, he looked in the spiritual realm. He had faith. He lived by faith and not by sight. You might be seeing all of this, but that's not real. What do you believe? What's in your heart? What has God shown you? What do you believe? What is the Word telling you? What is the Holy Spirit revealing to you? That is what gets us through. Verse 8, he says, with him is the arm of flesh. What does the Word say? What can men do to me? Nothing, if God is with me. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. As you need to say that, I don't have this, maybe I don't have money in the bank, oh, I've got this, these people are coming against me, you know, they're attacking my business, or they want to close me down, I've got employees that are trying to get me out of this, they're trying to push me out, don't worry, they just got arms of flesh. All they can do is maybe push you. You've got the arm of God on your side, and he is much more powerful. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. If God is with us, who can be against us? We've got God to help us and to fight our battles. Listen to this. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God fights our battles if we do what is right in his eyes. If we break down the idols and the altars in our lives, and if we serve only him and him alone, and we give all of ourselves to him. So after this, so now he'd done all these things. He encouraged them. He built up the walls. He got strong and courageous. He spoke to his people. He built them up. He put order in the house. After this, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem. You see, the enemy still doesn't give up. He says, wow, this guy's strong. He's done things right. He's put his commanders in place. He's shut off the springs. He's built the walls. But I've got another tactic. There's another tactic the enemy has. So he sent his servants to Hezekiah, king of Judah, and to all Judah who were in Jerusalem, saying, you see what he did? You're going to hear psychological warfare. We've done everything. We've built everything, but now the enemy comes and attacks our mind. Psychological warfare. Thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, in what do you trust? You see, we say all these things, but then the enemy comes to us, says, oh, really? Really? Do you really trust in God? Oh, Lord, you know, I surrender all of me to you. I surrender all of me to you. Then the psychological warfare comes. Really? Do you really surrender all? Do you really trust God? Do you really believe in these things in the Bible? Do you think God can really do all it? Look at this world. Look what's happening in you. It's much stronger than your God. That you remained under siege in Jerusalem. Does not Hezekiah, listen to this now, another thing. Does not your leader over you, Hezekiah, persuade you to give yourselves over to die by famine and thirst? You see, they're starting to bring lies into it. They're starting to turn the people against each other. Guys, we've got to be careful of that in this family and other families. Let's not be turned against each other. Hezekiah, Mark, the elders, that person, what are they saying? What are they doing? Don't you know that they're actually weakening you? They're preparing you for failure? Be careful of the lies of the enemy. He's persuaded you to die of famine and thirst, saying, the Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of king of Assyria. Come on. Can your God really deliver you from this mighty king? And we say that God will deliver you. I know, but you know, this is a big thing. You know, other people have been destroyed. You know, that guy in his business, this happened, or in his life and their marriage, this thing happened. Yeah, because the enemy's lying to you, saying, in who do you trust? Don't you see that thing's destroyed many people, broken many marriages, made many people sick? It's going to do the same to you. Psychological warfare. Has not the same Hezekiah taken away the high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, you shall worship before one altar and burn incense on it alone? They were saying, are you really just going to worship in one place? It's much better to worship in many places. Isn't it nice to have lots of gods? I can do this, I can do that, I can do that. No, there's only one God. But what they were saying, but it's much nicer in the world. It's much nicer having many gods. Why only one God? Look what he's doing to you. He's making you suffer. You've got to go to one place and worship one God. Do you not know that I and my fathers, do you not know what we have done to all the people of other lands? Reputation. You see, people will say to you, this works. Look at this. Look how wonderful this thing has made us. Were the gods of the nations of those lands in any way able to deliver their lands out of my hand? What he said is, my God's the greatest God. I've destroyed every other nation. By the way, this king, Sennacherib, had already destroyed 46 other fortified cities in southern Judah. And now he was coming against Jerusalem. So they had wiped out the northern kingdom. They were coming and wiping out the southern kingdom. And they were saying, look how mighty and great we are. You do not stand a chance. And your God cannot save you. Who was there amongst all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people from my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? So be careful of these tactics of the enemy, because God can do it. But we come against it all day long, through the media, through magazines, through TV, through what people say, through our cell phones. This is what's getting fed to us. Guys, this is the real thing that's getting fed to us. Everything that we do in this world, if you look out there, is telling us not to trust in our God. It's telling you to trust in a world system, in something else that's bigger and greater than our God, because it's destroyed and taken over everything else in the world. And it's telling you, look how strong this is. And you guys are still believing in your God? Really? Going to church on a Sunday, worshiping one God? Look, we've got many gods. It's wonderful. We just eat anything, we drink anything, we do whatever we want. And it's a powerful God. It's a lie. Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you. You see this temptation? The enemy is saying, you being deceived. We not being deceived. And that's why we talk strong into each other's lives. We not being deceived. We do have the true God and the one God. And we should give him everything that we have. Do not let him persuade you. Or persuade you like this, and do not believe him, for no God of any other nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? And here's the key. They weren't attacking them. They were attacking their God. And that's what happens in our lives, is our God is being attacked in our lives. You see, when it's all about us and you're saying, oh, you're coming against me and my rights, God's not there. But when they come against the God in our life, God moves mightily. That's when the hand of God moves. And when you know they're coming against your God because you've put your roots in one God and you've committed yourself to one God, when people start to attack God in your life, God moves. The problem is we've put our trust in other things, so they attack those things which we mistake for God, but then God doesn't intervene because it's really us itself. Or he's coming against me, he's coming against my character, or he's coming against what I've said. They're belittling me. Well, if it's about you, God is not there. But once you realize that they're coming against the God in your life that you've set your life upon, your foundation, and they start attacking the God in your life, wow, then God moves. And this is what they did wrong. They started to attack the God. This God is just like any other God. And that's when God says, whoa, right, is that so? Now I'm going to show my hand. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. When we say, yes, my God is true, and people start attacking God in our lives, that's when we can say, Lord, can you move and show them who you really are? Because I've trusted in you and I've relied on you. So can you come and protect me in this area? Show your might. And that's what they did. And that's a key. We often want to do it in our own strength because our pride has been hurt. But it's not about us. It's about the God in our lives that people come against. Stand on that. And then he also wrote letters in verse 17 to revile the Lord God of Israel. Once we realize that people are actually coming against the God in our lives, that's when we can stand secure. And that's when we can move. And that's when we got hope. And that's when we got power. And that's when God moves. As the gods of the nations, in verse 17, as the gods of the nations and other lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. You see, once, first of all, he was causing doubt and division, but two, he was attacking God. If anyone attacks God, the God in your life, you just say, Lord, they're coming against you. David knew it. How can you come against, David didn't say to Goliath, you're coming against me. He says, you're coming against God and his people. David understood it. You can't come against God. You're mocking God. But people can't mock God if he's not in you. It's only when you're standing in God and you're founded in God and you're rooted in God, when people are against you, you see it that's not an attack against you. You see it as an attack against God in your life. In verse 18, and they called out with a loud voice in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten them and trouble them that they might take the city. The enemy is coming to frighten you, to trouble you, so they can take your city of your heart. Doubt and deception. The enemy comes to break you down. That's all he's got. He's been defeated. Disarmed, his work's been destroyed. All he's got is lies and deceit, psychological warfare. Don't give in to that. Verse 19, and they spoke against God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, the work of men's hands. How can anyone speak against God? If you realize I have God, the mighty God, in my life, they can't speak against him. He's not just a God that's made by hands. 20, now listen to this. Now because of this, what did King Hezekiah do? What do we do when we're in trouble? When we're worried? When we're frightened? When we're in trouble? He went to the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried out to heaven. He went to a godly man who had received promises from God. Isaiah, if we read in Isaiah, knew about the attack of Assyria. He knew that they were going to come against the city of Jerusalem, and he knew that God promised that the city of Jerusalem would not be destroyed, and he would protect them against Assyria. Isaiah knew that. He stood on it. Go to people who can speak into your life that said, but God will not allow that. Be careful who you give your ear to. You know what we do when we're in trouble, when we're frightened, or we don't know what to do? You know where we go? Google. How often do we go to Google? Oh, Sherbet, oh, what do I do here? Google. Or are we going to a godly person and are we praying to the living God? Put Google away. Go to God. Pray. Google can't help you. 21. Then the Lord sent an angel. Listen to this. God still works in miraculous supernatural ways, even today, and even actually more powerfully, because we've got the Holy Spirit. This is one of the great miracles, as great as the Israelites crossing through the Red Sea. This is what happened here in this next verse. God moved in a mighty way. They went and they prayed to this mighty God, and they said, this Assyrian nation, 185,000 of them out there, Lord, they're coming against you. They're coming against you. Protect us and show them how mighty and glorious you are. If you want to read that prayer, I think it's later on. I'll find the verse, but it's in 2 Kings somewhere where they prayed, him and Uzziah. You can read in 2 Kings the story as well. So they prayed, and they cried out to heaven. Then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, leader, and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. If you read in 1 Kings, 185,000 were killed in one night by an angel of the Lord. Miraculously, not a story, it's not a fairy tale, some fairy tale. This is real, this is true. You can read it in other historians, Herodias and other guys, Josephus and I was thinking of the other guy's name. They've written these things in their books. It's not only the Bible that records this. There's historians that have recorded this. 185,000 in one night were slain by God. So he returned. He came against God. He got slain. His people got slain. So he returned, shamefaced, to his own land. And when he had gone into the temple of his God, some of his own offspring struck him down with the sword there. He went into one of his own temples, temple of one of his gods, and his sons slayed him and killed him. So God interacted, he intervened, and he can do the same in our lives. And I think a lot of times people say, well, God's not really there. He can't work miraculously, supernaturally in your life. Yes, he can. And he actually is. And he's slaying many people and many enemies in the heavenly realms that are coming against you. You just got to realize and pray to God and say, they're coming against you. You need to build up those walls. You need to stand firm. You need to know the tactics of the enemy, and we need to come against it. We need to be given ear to the right people, and we need to be doing the right things. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others. They weren't only protected this time. They were protected against all others. All the other cities in Judah, 46 of them were destroyed, carried away. There's recordings of them where they're all carried away, and the kings were sitting there and just plundering them, but not Jerusalem, because they put their faith in God. And guided them on every side. God guided them because they turned their hearts to him. And the last verse, and many brought gifts to the Lord. You see, when we stand firm in the Lord, and when he give him glory, and we say, it's because of you, Lord, you fought this battle, you are mighty, and we give him praise, many people will be drawn to that. How do we go and preach to this world? We stand and trust in God, and they'll see these people. We heard about it. Ivan brought it, his message last time. They saw that they had been with God. People want to see that we've been with God, and they'll know that our God is mighty, and they will come to us wanting to know this God. And they brought gifts to this God, and even to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, so that he was exalted. He was exalted. God exalted him because he was faithful. He has the promises and the blessings. When we are right and good in the eyes of God, he blesses us. He gives us favor before men, not ourselves. Don't try and you go and get favor before man. You can't. You'll fail. You can give gifts like it started off for. You can give people money. You can give them presents. You know, you can suck up to them, but they will eventually turn their backs on you. It's only God who gives you lasting favor and powerful favor. And he was exalted in the sight of all the nations. You see, he gained influence and reputation. Amen. So I hope this message has spoken to you, and it's changing you, and it's helping you set things right. So what you need to do is, maybe we need to come up and sing one more song. And whilst we are singing this song, think about the message that you've just heard, and start to build up those walls in your life, which you say, this wall is I've neglected. I need to build this wall up in my life. Or I've given myself over to this God, or this idol, or I've tried to find favor to this person and I've given them more than I should have. Maybe you need to look at yourself and say, what is happening in my life? Because I want to give myself to the one and only God. And I want to have a realization that he dwells within me, and anyone coming against me is not coming against me, but they're coming against the God of the heavens. And then God will fight on my behalf. Also, I want to ask you, who are you giving ear to? Be careful. It's a big thing that if we give ear to the wrong people, they will shout and say, did God do this? Did God say that? Don't you know that your God's not great? Don't you know that there's other gods? Don't you know there's something bigger than what's happening here? Be careful who you give ear to. Give ear to godly people, the people that have been given over you, that God has set over you, that has anointed priests who are there to help you, to guide you, and to speak in your life. That's why you're here. You weren't here by mistake. God added you here because it's good for you. Worship God and God alone. What else are you worshiping? Maybe walk through your house. Maybe look on your phone. Maybe look at the books. Somebody mentioned one of our home church meetings. Somebody said, maybe look beside your bed or at the table. What are you reading? What are you looking at? Are you maybe reading rubbish? Are you reading stuff that comes from the world that's saying, is God a God? Don't you rather want this? Look at all these nice things you can have. You just got to work a little bit harder. You just got to sell your soul a little bit more to your job. Whatever. And let's trust in him and him alone. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Then we're going to worship and then let's do that.
I just want to, before you close, I really think what the Lord has brought to Craig is so powerful. Do you all agree? So I think God wants us to respond to this.
Yeah, he does.
And while we sing, I really believe you need to take a step. As I was just listening and absorbing what God was saying through what Craig said, the one thing that struck me right in the beginning, in the very first month of the very first year of his reign, he did something. Now, in the very first minutes of you hearing something that God has laid your finger on your heart, are you going to do something about it? The second thing is that King Hezekiah was not about his kingdom. He was about God's kingdom. So if you have to reorder those things, we sometimes have troubles and challenges. And as we learned today, they're not always because we're doing the right things, but they can sometimes be because we're doing the wrong things. Those other kings were all defeated because they were not about God's business. But Hezekiah became about God's business. And so God protected him, even though the enemy came against him, because the enemy will attack us who are his enemy. But if we are deceived because we haven't made the right things in the right place, then we are praying fruitless prayers. And we have to get that thing right. And then, now where's it gone? There was something I underlined here that you read, if I can see the underlining. He said, and this is actually the king Sennacherib was quoting this, that Hezekiah said, the Lord our God will rescue us from the king of Assyria. Not may. It wasn't a hope. It was an absolute fervent position, standing in faith. And that's another thing we have to deal with here. If you are struggling with something, are you still in your heart saying, maybe? Or are you leading your family, whoever is the head in the home? I know some homes are led by single ladies, but the men in the homes, are you leading your family this way? This is what the Lord says, and I will stand on it. It doesn't matter what has happened before. 40 cities were destroyed. They were the first city not to be destroyed. What did they have before them that they could stand on? That was a history. Nothing except the word of God. So you have to, in today's day and age, we have to be like that. I don't care what other people say. I don't care that 1 million+ people have died of COVID. The Lord says that in Psalm 91, this is what he says about pestilences. This is what I stand on for my house. This is what I stand on. We have to stand up. So if you want to, like Craig is invited, I want to encourage you, either stand up where you are there's something you say, Lord, I'm going to make this right. Either you're putting the Lord first, or you haven't been operating in faith, or there's something that you're trusting for that the history has shown you may not have a job, you may not have this. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past, the Lord says. But he's waiting for us to stand in faith like Hezekiah and Isaiah did. So let's respond as we worship.
As we just wait as well, and you pray whilst we're worshiping and respond to this. So Father, we thank you for your word. We want to give all of us to all of you. We want to put aside all those things. We want to see these walls that we need to build up. And Father, we want to block out the psychological warfare of the enemy. And we actually want to overpower him by what you've given us, what you've promised us, and what you say is true. So we just worship you right now, and we change our hearts, and we are changed in your presence. In Jesus' name.